the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We've got some breaking news as we welcome you in to hour two of the Lombardi Line alongside three-time Super Bowl winning executive Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. We have a QB1 announcement in Pittsburgh. Michael, minus 425 comes through for Russell Wilson. Mike Tomlin announces he will be the guy week one against Atlanta.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to move the line at all. I mean, Atlanta opened up at 3. It went down to 2.5 for most of the summer, and now it's shifted right back to 3. Because of the uncertainty of quarterback at Pittsburgh, neither one, in spite of the Justin Fields campaign to be MVP, none of them have looked great. And more alarming, I think, for Pittsburgh fans and Pittsburgh loyalists is their offensive line hasn't played very well. Now, we fully expect Mike Tomlin to get his team ready to go. But remember, last year, they struggled in preseason as well. And, you know, when they started the regular season, it wasn't pretty. You know, they got what San Francisco went in there. They scored 7 points. It was a little bit of the same thing. And it goes back to what I always look at, especially when it comes to opening games, is what was your execution? Can you execute? And Mike Tomlin runs a tough camp, so there's always good execution, but not last year. Last year, they had 41 rushes and completions, and the 49ers just dominated the game. I mean, they had 34 rushing attempts in the game. They had 19 completed passes in the game and 29 attempts, so this is a little bit worrisome, so I could see why the betting market is reacting to that Super Bowl contending team in Atlanta.
Yeah, Michael, we joked yesterday.
Don't laugh, Stormy. Don't laugh. I got a phone call yesterday. Don't laugh. I got a phone call yesterday from a resident of Atlanta, a friend of mine, and he called me and he said, why is everybody in this town think we're going to the Super Bowl? Apparently, Falcon mania is all through Georgia. Like, I was alerted to it. He said, all they talk about on sports radio is how we're going to win the Super Bowl. Arthur Blank thinks they're going to win this. Everybody thinks they're going to the Super Bowl.
So
I'll tell you what, if the Steelers upset them and win the game, it's only a 3-point line, not much of an upset. But if they win that game, oh my.
Despite my complete agreement with you that from a leadership standpoint, that organization is a hot mess. On paper, the Falcons should be really good, like especially playing in the division with which they play. And you look at how Desmond Ridder just got cut from the Arizona Cardinals. Like that's what they were working with at quarterback, was him and Taylor Heineke. So you get an instant massive upgrade in Kirk Cousins. I know that you feel confident in Arthur Smith, who's now going to be on the other side of this game, which is interesting, as offensive coordinator with the Steelers. But as a head coach, he wasn't utilizing his weapons to a way that made people like me who have Bijan Robinson on their fantasy team happy. And so maybe they actually have a little bit of a switch of fate here offensively. Their win total is 9.5. They are an odds-on favorite in the NFC South. And like for people that think the Saints are going to be bad, for people that think the Panthers are going to continue to be bad, that for people that didn't believe in what they saw from Baker Mayfield and the Falcons, like a playoff spot at minimum is what should happen. And so why not, if you get into the tournament, have belief you can win the Super Bowl? I have to play devil's advocate with you sometimes, Michael.
I agree with you. I want to hear the other side. I want to hear where the enthusiasm comes from, because I don't see it. I still think at the end of the day, you have to have a really good defense to win.
And they brought in some people there. They brought in some people.
Well, we'll see how those people do. I mean, I think there's a question mark. I don't know how Justin Simmons is going to tilt the needle. I think Judon certainly will help. But they got to play from in front. And I'm still not sure that Kirk Cousins is – it's not automatic these guys come back off of Achilles injuries and play.
I 100% agree with you there. He is an aging quarterback coming off a very serious injury. So there are a lot of questions, but I could see why people in Atlanta could be enthusiastic. Now, this has derailed our conversation about the Steelers, so I do want to go back to it.
Let's go back. All right.
Russell Wilson named the starter, which while I know it will surprise a lot of people in media based on the way they said Justin Fields needs to be the guy, there was not a doubt in my mind that Russell Wilson was going to be the day one starting quarterback. I feel like that's the way it would make the conversation easiest. If ultimately Russell Wilson does play poorly, you can pull him and have Justin Fields go in there And I don't think that it would have been as successful the opposite way around. There are also very big conflicting feelings about how Pittsburgh is going to be as a whole this year. That win total is set at 8.5. I feel like there are some people that think because this roster is so much better that they should be able to continue Mike Tomlin's theme of winning seasons. And then there's this vast other side that say, doesn't matter how good you are, the schedule is too dang tough for you to get there. What do you think?
Well, I think I have faith in Mike Tomlin. There's a reason why this guy has never had a below 500 record. And he's had some bad teams and he's had good teams. I mean, they're operating outside of the Ben Roethlisberger era, and it hasn't been great. He's taken a lot of heat for not being able to get to the playoffs without Ben Roethlisberger. But that's the NFL. You need somebody who's really good, and they've not been able to kind of satisfy that position. You know, they were able to draft Roethlisberger. They didn't hit with Kenny Pickett. You know, Mason Rudolph didn't come through for him. They've tried to do it outside of picking in the top 10. It just hasn't worked. But for me, I have a hard time. I don't see it on paper. And it, when something, you know, I've learned this, Stormy, in doing this show with you for a while now. When it looks so obvious, it's never that, it's never comes true. And it looks obvious that Pittsburgh can't win that many games, but I can't tell you they won't.
Mm-hmm. They were, before the season schedule was officially announced, they were minus 130 to go over that 8.5 benchmark. Now it's plus 120, so bet 100, win $120 on the Steelers if they do what Mike Tomlin has always done in Pittsburgh. Again, the breaking news, Russell Wilson named QB1 for week 1 out there in Pittsburgh. Still to come on this hour as well. It's Wednesday, so we're going to have Why Not Wednesday at the end of the hour. Matt Eumanns, who was a big contributor to the NFL Betting Guide, host of VSiN Tonight, he's going to stop by, give some of his NFL futures bet, see if he has some thoughts on college football as well. Speaking of college football, in the next segment, we're going to do fade or follow because there are some significantly lopsided betting splits in a number of these big games that we're going to see in week 1 of the college football season. But for now, it is time to find out what's on Michael's mind. What's top of the dome today for you, my friend?
Well, you know, every morning, Stormy, I go through and look at the, and I do it in different color codes, so I track these moving lines because I think it is important. And, you know, we're still, 10 days out from the opening game, I mean, from Sunday game. So we're 8 days away from the Thursday game. But, you know, and there'll be more bets come in on week 1 NFL. But to me, the line that just, as I went through it today, and I did my power rankings and I put the teams in and I came up with what I believe would be my week one lines based on the criteria that I have set forth. And the line that just jumps out to me is I don't understand how Seattle has gone to 5-point line, 5-point favorite over Denver. Denver, I think, is undervalued in the market because of Bo Nix. Now it's up to 6. You know, and so I don't get this. I don't see this movement to Seattle. Now, look, you know me. I'm a Seattle fan. I think they're going to be good. But 6 is a lot of points on the road, especially with a good coach like Sean Payton. They'll run the ball. That one looks, again, this looks too easy to sit there and say take Denver and lay with the 6. But I think these opening games are hard to predict, especially a line that's big that moved from 3.5 all the way up to 6.
Yeah, that is significant. Michael, not to be too cheesy, but that's who I am as a person. Would you call that a Lombardi line?
Yes, I would. That's exactly what it is. So every week, Stormy, I make my own lines and I've modified it. I spent a lot of time this offseason going through it. I think I read the Billy Walters book 3 times just to try to learn how he did it. Now, he doesn't exactly explain how he does it, but he gives you some tips on how to do it. So I've tried to reconfigure my betting numbers to see if I can really nail it down and get away from, oh, home field's worth 3 points. No, it's not. I mean, if it's worth 3 points, then why Seattle 25 and 17 over the last 5 years? I mean, they don't win at home anymore. They used to, but they don't. Yeah. So I think you have to modify that, you know, that old adage, well, home field's worth 3 points. It ain't.
No lies detected. We'll see how Seattle starts off the Mike McDonald era. Again, laying 6 right now, total 42. And I'm going to commandeer your segment for the last 2 minutes here, Michael, for what's on Stormy's mind. I don't know if you saw this, but ESPN.com pulled over 100 active players in the National Football League to answer a couple burning questions about quarterbacks. Hopefully this is the last anonymous list we get, by the way, since we'll have real football coming up here soon. But Josh Allen was voted the most overrated quarterback in the NFL. Does that surprise you?
I don't know where that comes from. Why is he overrated? The guy rushes for 15 touchdowns. Was it his fault the kicker Bass missed the field goal, would have gone the game to overtime? I think the guy carries his team. I think his team is overrated. I don't think he's overrated. I don't understand these polls. I really don't. You know, we got the Danny O poll. He comes out with his quarterbacks. We got, you know, Pro Football Focus poll comes out with his quarterback. I mean, it's like, where do they come from? Like, what's the criteria based on? How would you define Josh Allen as over? Ask any coach who competes against Buffalo and think if, and ask them if they think he's overrated.
So now, go ahead.
Well, I mean, you might – to me, Tua is overrated because you take away some of the skill around Tua and it's not the same thing. Now, I know he got his big contract and all that, but you take away that system and you take away the elements of what Tyreek Hill brings to that team and how they run it and the RPO game, he's overrated. But he's still a good player.
Yeah.
But Josh Allen overrated? Are you kidding me?
Well, don't worry, Michael. Tua came in third. It was Jalen Hurts in second. But, yeah, Josh Allen was voted first and – to your point, like, yeah, he didn't miss the chip shot field goal to lose that game. He didn't drop the ball that like Stephon Diggs did that would have set them up in field goal position earlier in the game. Also, FYI, 10 career playoff games, 65% completions, 270 pass yards per game, 21 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, QBR over 100. I get in the regular season, yeah, he's turnover prone. It's no surprise. Last season, 44 passing and rushing touchdowns, most in the NFL. He had the second most interceptions in the league. But those interceptions haven't come in critical moments in playoff games that have cost them situations the way it has for some others. So, yeah, overrated. I don't know if that's fair, but I'm also a Josh Allen apologist, so I don't know if we can trust my opinion on this. We're going to hit the break. More Lombardi Line coming up after this.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Josh Allen, the most overrated quarterback in the NFL. Well, that's according to his peers. 100 anonymous active NFL players were polled by ESPN. That's what they had to say. They asked a handful of questions. Is Patrick Mahomes going to supplant the GOAT in Tom Brady? Which of these rookie quarterbacks is going to have the longest career? And so we do have some interesting answers here, Michael, including also who's the best trash talker in the NFL? Josh Allen also won that one. So he
maybe
had
maybe that's why he got voted overrated, because he talks too much trash. Maybe he's pissed off too many people. I don't know how you could call Josh Allen overrated. He turns the ball over and they still win. I mean, the Bills are overrated as a team. I mean, I don't think they're a great team at all, but he's a great player. And I wasn't a believer in him coming out of Wyoming. I thought he wasn't accurate enough with the football, and he's proved me wrong.
I think it has to be just the turnovers, like you said, Michael, because maybe it wasn't an even split between offensive and defensive players that were pulled, and there were a lot of defensive players that said, hey, well, we know he's going to give us one. We'll get one in this game, right? So maybe that's where that overreaction comes.
Brett Favre would give you one, too. Did they think he was overrated?
Maybe. One NFC East player did say about the trash talk, Josh Allen's going to run you over. And he's going to trash talk you after he runs you over. So gives you some perspective there. He was followed on that list by Baker Mayfield and Aaron Rodgers as the top trash talker. Most underrated quarterbacks, we had a tie for Matthew Stafford and Brock Purdy, which I liked, of course. The man can't get any respect, Michael, so I'm glad the players recognize it.
Zero. No, they can't get any respect at all. I mean, it's sad because, you know, all he's done is he's almost at 10 yards per attempt in completions. Well, they have great skill players. No, they throw the ball in the middle field. He puts the ball in the right spot and they run with it after the catch. So, you know, I think to me that's something that, you know, is hard to do. And everybody else that's tried to do it wasn't as successful as Brock is. I just think to me he plays way better than most people think. And they just don't want to give him credit. I don't know why Kurt Warner gets credit for being what he was able to overcome. And yet poor Brock Purdy can't.
Yeah, it's weird. People love an underdog story until, for whatever reason, they don't anymore. And they don't for Brock Purdy. So let's see how this year goes, because your boy's about to get paid. The top three quarterbacks per his peers, Patrick Mahomes, number one, Lamar Jackson, two, Joe Burrow, three, compared conversely to the coaches and executives who were polled earlier this week in Mike Sando's poll that had Lamar Jackson in tier two and Josh Allen in the top three. And then the rookie to have the best career, Caleb Williams, took the top honor there, followed by Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy, even though McCarthy's not even going to hit the field this year.
Yeah, I mean, look, evaluate the evaluators. One thing I know is, you know, a lot of this is just public perception. It's really, you think any of these guys have really studied any tape on Bo Nix? You think these guys have studied any tape on these guys? Come on. It's just, it's filler. It's all filler to get us through till we get to 7 days from tomorrow to the season. We can start talking about this stuff that's all filler and start focusing on actually what's really good. And I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah. Caleb Williams is the favorite to win Rookie of the Year, as expected, short shot, number one overall pick, and put in a very good situation there with the Bears. But yeah, it's like I said last segment, Michael, hopefully this is the last anonymous poll we have for a while, because we're going to have actual games on our screen from now through February, which is exciting. Let's switch gears back to college football here. Want to play a game of fade or follow. We did this with the NFL week one games over the last couple of days, so thought it would be fun to do the same exercise in college football, starting with one of the marquee games of the weekend. Georgia laying 13.5 points against Clemson. 81% of the handle. So that's all the money that's coming in. 82% of the bets, the tickets that are coming in, feel very confident laying it with the number one team in the dogs.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would fade this. I'm going to go with Clemson here just because I'm going to go against the public. I thought Dave Shoemate did a great job at explaining. Look, Georgia has every offensive lineman, including the backups, are pro prospects. They're all on everybody's pro list. So when you have a dominant offensive line like that, you can take control of the game and wear people down and win the fourth quarter, which ultimately close games have to do. So, but to me, this is Clemson's, I don't want to call it their last stand, but this is a stand. Clemson has been disrespected for good reason in the betting world and in the college football. I'm not sold they're great at quarterback with Klubnik, but I do think that they should be able to keep this within 14 points.
Yeah, Clemson has not been a double-digit underdog since 2014 at Florida State. This is a very unique role for them to be in. I understand it from that standpoint. If you are betting Clemson here, you have to have faith in Cade Klubnik. And I think you probably also are thinking slash hoping that Travis Etienne isn't going to be available, as Dave Shoemate also referenced a stud running back for the Georgia Bulldogs that might be facing a suspension. We don't have an update whether or not he'll be available yet. I did also think this was worth noting, although not a fade or follow spot. The total in this game is 48.5. According to ESPN Stats and Information, UGA has 8 straight unders in season openers. It is the longest active streak in the FBS. Another big lopsided split here, Michael. Well,
that's a great point, though, Stormy. That's a great point, because why do unders hit week one? Because you've not practiced against it. There's been no games. Look at the first preseason in the National Football League. We saw low scoring. The unders, even as low as the book was making the unders kept cashing. Look at week five. Look at week three of the preseason when no one was playing. All of a sudden, the overs, I think they went 12-5 or 12-4 in those games, right? It's because you actually have more time to practice and get prepared. So I think to me, it's the same thing in college football. I think clearly go under early.
Okay. Fade or follow the money that is coming on Colorado against North Dakota State in week one. 73% of the handle, 73% of bets as well, coming in on Coach Prime and the Buffs against the FCS team.
I'm all in on North Dakota. I'm going to fade Colorado.
I like it.
I'm going to follow North. I mean, look, the market, all the money's coming in on Colorado, but the line's moving to North Dakota State.
Yeah, I just said 10, but now we see 9.5. Good point.
Yeah, I mean, I think the public, which is what's driving all this betting thing, I think the public's betting that, but I think people that understand the game and understand how good North Dakota State is and how they play and what they do, they will not be mismatched. And look, here's what we don't know about Colorado's program. We've not know how many guys left. I mean, last year it was the running joke. Prime ran everybody off. Last year, everybody ran off. They ran themselves off. They didn't want to stay there. It isn't like a harmonious place, in spite of what other, that's why he's getting attacked and he doesn't want to answer it.
Yeah, they had over 40 transfers coming into the program. So what will that look like? Will the guys up front be better than they were last year? Because we know it was rough. That's an area they're trying to upgrade, but how much better can you get? We'll see. Nothing in this game would surprise me, quite frankly. I could see North Dakota State winning outright. I could see Colorado winning and Coach Prime saying, I told you so, you know, just all the things. North Dakota State, though, for reference to back Michael's point, has been money when it comes to covering against FBS programs. Literally 6-1 straight up and against the spread since 2010.
Breach.
Against FBS opponents, with the exception of Arizona and your boy Jed Fish last year, Michael. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're tough to play. Nobody wants to play them, Stormy. No, and if you're not well prepared and your pad level's not great, and you're not really ready to handle what they're going to bring to the table, you're going to get your butt beat.
Let's hit these last two. Fade or follow the steam coming in on the favorites of Miami laying 2.5 at Florida and LSU -4 at USC. Over 70% of the handle and 80% of the bets on both of those games backing the favorites.
I'm going to fade USC and I'm going to fade Miami. I can't go for Mario Cristobal. I can't go for that. That's a Hall & Oates play with me with him. I can't go for that one because I just can't. He'll do something to screw it up. Now they say they've hired somebody to help him. I don't know if that helps. You know, that means you're assuming the person who's helping him knows. Why are you paying him all that money if he needs somebody to help him?
Yeah, and I mentioned this earlier too, Michael, but under Mario Cristobal as a favorite, they're 4-11 ATS, third worst among power teams since he took over. Florida also, meanwhile, has had a lot of success as a home dog since 2018, 6-0 ATS, 6-1 ATS at home against ranked opponents in that time, second best record in that span. So hate on Florida and Billy Napier all you want, but even in recent history where they have been bad, they've still had success at that level. As for LSU, I don't have an opinion really on the spread or quite frankly the total either, but I did find some interesting information on this total, Michael, looking back at last year's games. LSU and USC were two of the top three teams in the country at hitting the over and top two among power conference teams. Both went 10-3 to the over last season. Despite having the highest totals on the board every week, USC averaged a preset game total of 65.2 last year, still went 10-3 to the over. LSU average preset game total was 62. Oregon was also up there as expected and will be again this season. But week one, out the gates here in Vegas, total of 64. Will the defenses be any better? We shall see. Okay, that was a fun addition or fade or follow. When we come back from this quick timeout, Matt Eumanns, host of VSiN Tonight, is going to join us, get some of his thoughts on the big games. And he's also really good at diving into some of the smaller conferences. He, like me, loves the Mountain West. What did he think of week zero? Any of these teams he's targeting now? We will get into it all. Don't go anywhere. This is the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Super excited for this next guest. Super talented handicapper, writer, a lover of all things football and fast food. We welcome to the Lombardi Line, Matt Eumanns, host of VSiN Tonight on the Progressive Guest Line, 8 to 11 Pacific, 11 to 2 Eastern. By the way, Matt, I have not talked to you since your fast food rankings came out. And props to you for elevating Bojangles year after year. You're doing big things, my friend. How are you?
Hey, Stormy. Great to talk with you. You're a sideline superstar. Great to have you still on VSiN. I know you're headed to big things, but you know what? You've been lobbying for Bojangles hard in the last couple of years, and it paid off. And Bojangles coming to Vegas, and that's bonus points too. So looking forward to that when it gets here and opened up. I'm looking forward to college football right now and then the NFL right around the corner.
What do you let's start with the NFL. What is one of those – what bet do you have in the NFL that you're really excited about?
Quite a few of them, actually. I got a bunch. You know, I don't bet typically a lot of NFL futures. Usually have a handful. I've got 15 of them so far, and I'm still 15. Probably not done. I've got 15 NFL futures in terms of win totals, to win the division, a few props, and actually two Super Bowl futures I played. So I got 50. Actually, I think I got 17 now. See, I'm losing count. I've got so many. I've got 17. I'll tell you that one that I'm excited about because I plan to cash it is Patriots under 5 wins. And I've got that at minus 110. And I bet it again at minus 130. And when you look at the Patriots schedule, I don't see any hope for this team getting to 6 wins. And I think Gerard Mayo's overmatched as a head coach right now. With Bill Belichick last season, the Patriots got the 4 wins. And I thought Belichick, you know, was worth at least a couple of those. Late in the season, I thought, it was all Belichick when they won a couple of those games. And I'm not sure how this defense for Gerard Mayo is going to be able to pull out many wins. It's a major coaching downgrade. The quarterback situation is a chaotic mess. The coach doesn't know how to handle it. And you got a much tougher schedule than the Patriots even had to deal with last year. I don't know how this team is going to find its way to 6 wins. I don't expect it to happen. I actually know a couple of really sharp bettors who are playing the Patriots under 3 wins at a big plus price. So you still play them at under 5. And I think that's probably, of my 17 futures, that's about as good as it gets.
Yep, Matt, I wrote.
Matt, real quick. Real quick, Storm, I want to follow up. Are you going to play also to attach to that? Are you going to play the Patriots to have the first pick overall in the draft?
I have not played that yet. I did bet the Patriots not to make the playoffs. It was a huge price, but it's a guaranteed winner. And I was actually trying to find the prop on the Patriots to have the first pick in the draft. I'm looking for that, but I haven't seen it yet. And actually, I think that's probably a pretty good bet. I mean, the Patriots, the Panthers, the Giants, those look like the 3 worst teams in the league to me right now.
Yeah, and Matt, I was just going to say that I wrote up in the guide, too, for the Panthers. I mean, for the Patriots to have the lowest scoring team this year as well. I mean, they're the favorite to do so, but it just feels right that offense doesn't have anything you need to be productive. And you're also fading another team that I am fading, so let's join in here. I do not believe anything in Daniel Jones. I think that the New York Giants are going to have a really rough season. He's coming off an Achilles. He wasn't good even when he was healthy last year. Significant injuries. You lose Saquon Barkley. What'd you bet on this team and how do you view them?
Yeah, you lose Saquon Barkley. And that was a big, reason I also played the Eagles. Mm-hmm. I bet on Philadelphia to win the NFC East on May 1st. That was the first of all the futures bets I put in was the Eagles to win that division at plus 135 on May 1st. And the Giants, no, look, these bets are not for everybody because if you don't have a big bankroll, you don't want to lay a bunch of money out there and wait 5 months to cash it. I certainly understand. But if you do, these bets are going to be an automatic return. Talking about the Patriots to make the playoffs at minus 1,000, Giants not to make the playoffs, again, at minus 470. I would be surprised if the Giants don't finish last in the division. Michael and I talked about the worst offensive lines in the league on his GM Shuffle podcast this week. And the worst I've seen are the Patriots and the Giants among the worst offensive lines I see. So you just start there. And the media loves to make Daniel Jones the fall guy as the quarterback. And he turns it over too much. He's got his faults. But Daniel Jones has also been set up by that organization to fail. They've made numerous mistakes in personnel, starting with the offensive line. I think the New York defensive line is probably the strength of that team. But again, this is a Giants team that was 6-11 last season, probably has a 7-win ceiling this season, and the floor is rock bottom in terms of being one of the worst teams in the league. I don't see many reasons to bet on the Giants. So I'd say fade the Patriots and the Giants with no fear.
Yeah, I think that's right. You also have the Eagles to win the Super Bowl 14-1. Talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, the coordinators, starting with Vic Fangio on defense. Now, Fangio was a clumsy head coach, but he's one of the better defensive coordinators in the business. I think he was too tough. Those Dolphins players were whining when he left that he was too tough on them. That's a bad sign for some of those Dolphins defensive players. But if you go back to 2 years ago, Jalen Hurts was an MVP candidate. He was second to Patrick Mahomes. He accounted for 35 total touchdowns. He only had 6 turnovers that season, 14-1 as a starter. Eagles led the Chiefs by 10 at halftime in the Super Bowl. I don't think that was a fluke. Now, what happened last season almost got Nick Sirianni fired. So he changes his coordinators, goes to Fangio, goes to Kellen Moore. I'm a little bit concerned about Kellen Moore, I'm going to admit, as offensive coordinator, and how quickly Hurts and this offense is going to adjust to that system. I mean, any bets you make, you're going to have some sort of concern. So That's one I've got. But the Saquon Barkley addition, I think, is big. Hopefully he stays healthy. Improving the defensive secondary through the draft was obviously important. And Cowboys, you know, as far as the NFC East goes, the Cowboys have done nothing to get better, in my estimation. And I think it's going to be back to the future, back to 2022, when the Eagles got to the Super Bowl. I see a similar type of season ahead here. I'm a big believer in Jalen Hurts, like I was before that 2022 season when I thought he was going to have a breakout year. So I'm hoping that comes together. I think the Eagles do get back there.
Dang, Dalvin Cook and Zeke didn't move the needle for you with Dallas, huh?
No, not really. Even though I did watch Dalvin Cook workout video yesterday, and he looked like Apollo Creed in his prime. That was pretty impressive. Did you see that?
Yes, I did. Matt Eumanns, host of VSiN Tonight, weeknights here on VSiN 8 to 11 local, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Okay, so you mentioned you had a couple Super Bowl futures, though. In addition to the Eagles, who else do you have in pocket?
I played the Jets, actually, and mostly because of the number. And the Jets, 20-1, and that is actually a 30-1 out there at the Westgate Superbook, if you can get it. To me, that's too much value. And I know the AFC is a tough road to hoe, but it's not all about Aaron Rodgers. I know the media is Rodgers. But, hey, you've got Breece Hall in the backfield. You've got Garrett Wilson, who's becoming an elite receiver on the outside. I kind of like the receiving weapons Rodgers has got. If the offensive line's fully healthy, it is a really good line. They've done a nice job rebuilding the line. That's, I think, yet to be seen, but I'm hoping that develops. But the foundation for this play is the Jets should have a top three defense in the NFL. So it's not all about Aaron Rodgers. It's about this defense. Last year, the Jets had some of the worst quarterback play in the NFL, 11 touchdown passes, 15 picks, and still won 7 games. Mostly because of the defense. I think the defense is going to be the main reason, not necessarily Aaron Rodgers, that the Jets have a shot to get to the Super Bowl. At those odds, I had to play it.
Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, I think there's no question you got to do that. Real quick, the Broncos are now a 6-point dog to Seattle. You have them over 5.5 wins. I mean, can you explain how Seattle is all the way up to 6, Matt?
No, I really can't, because I like the Broncos a little bit in that game. I think what people like to do is fade a rookie quarterback in his first start on the road, right? So a lot of people are looking to fade Bo Nix. The Broncos are one of the teams I've changed my opinion on a little bit over the summer. I like what I'm seeing from Bo Nix. I like what I'm seeing, more importantly, from the two deep. They don't have stars, right? The people like to focus on the stars. Raiders have Max Crosby, Devontae Adams. The Broncos really don't have stars. When I'm watching the preseason games and breaking those down, they have a lot more talent on their two deep than people think. Sean Payton's done a pretty good job, like an under-the-radar job, putting this roster together. He was 7-4 in the final 11 games last season. I think the Broncos are an underrated team, going to go over that win total of 5.5.
Matt, we've only got about 40 seconds with you left, but week one of college football upcoming. Any under-the-radar game or bet you really like?
You know, it's not under the radar, but how about Thursday night? Let's bet against Deion. I took North Dakota State plus 10. I took the Bison against the Buffalo plus 10. Cam Miller comes back for his fifth season, a quarterback of the Bison, 72% completions, 32-4 TD to interception ratio. I don't think Deion knows what he's doing as a coach. Took a shot there with North Dakota State plus 10. Also, West Virginia as a home dog, Florida as a home dog, plus 8.5 and plus 3. And that Notre Dame-Texas A&M game on Saturday night, defensive slugfest, under the total of 46.5.
I hope the dogs are barking for you, Matt. Awesome stuff.
Thank you. You bet.
Matt Eumanns, again, check out VSiN Tonight every weeknight. You can follow him on X as well, at MattEumanns247. And for the record, I have been seeing a coming soon Bojangles sign by my house since January.
I was going to ask you, yes.
It's starting to get built. Finally, we've got legs, baby. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Question, maybe a stupid one, but I'm just spitballing here.
Can it make you say why not?
That wasn't a stupid question.
It's time for Why Not Wednesday.
I mean, why not?
You know when they say it's so crazy it just might work?
Okay, you know the drill. We're hitting Michael with some plus money and long shot props, seeing if we can get him to turn his head and say, why not? I'll place that bet. And we're going to start with an interesting week one game, Michael. The Patriots at the Cincinnati Bengals. Reports out of Cincinnati today, Ja'Marr Chase just got to practice 13 minutes late in street clothes, 24 hours after Zach Taylor said Ja'Marr Chase is going to be out here at practice again and he's getting ready for week one. Could there be trouble in paradise? Could you say why not to the Patriots cashing on the money line at plus 360 against the Bengals week one?
Not a chance, not a chance, not a chance. No, there's no why not in that. No, you're not getting me there, Stormy. I would have typically said the Bengals are not good at opening day games. 0-4 the first 2 weeks, the last 2 years. Their last year, Joe Burrow against the Cleveland Browns threw for 82 yards. Not good. On the road. But this year they changed their whole approach on how they're going to play and practice and move forward. So I'm more inclined to believe they're going to be sharper. They're going to have better pad level. They're going to be more in tune to what they need to get accomplished because they know they have to start fast. To think that they're going to let a New England team as bad as they are come in and beat them.
And we talked with Matt Eumanns in the last segment about how this is a Patriots team. He feels extremely comfortable fading. I know there are some people that think that the Patriots could be a fade for their entire Survivor ticket. Just see how far you can go fading New England, maybe, you know, within reason here. Speaking of which, Circa Survivor, the quest for $9.2 million, the docuseries, continues on today. Episode 4 of the 5-part docuseries out later on tonight. VSiN Live on X, VSiN.com/Survivor for more information. You can watch it live on X or on YouTube TV. This one should be a good one because we get to the point in Circa Survivor last year where there's a possibility of a chop and then Golden Boy arrives. So get excited for that. But yeah, I certainly feel like the Patriots, fading the Patriots in week one in Survivor will be the most selected choice. We also talked with Matt Eumanns last segment about North Dakota State. As they face Colorado this coming week in college football, he likes the 10. Could I get you on board with the money line, Michael? Can you say why not to plus 280 on the Bison?
I could say plus 280. Look, this is going to be a close game. I watched them last year play against a good Arizona team who ended up beating Oklahoma in the Alamo Bowl. And this team had Arizona on the ropes. They ran the football effectively. It was hard for Arizona. If you don't practice pad level, if you're not fundamentally sound, if you are not being able to come off blocks and understand how you fit on two back runs, which I'm sure Colorado will not be able to do, they're going to run the football on you. This is a team that knows who they are. They have an identity. They're not fancy. Look, they're devoid of talent. There's no question, but they're really well coached and they don't deviate from what they need to accomplish. So I'm definitely why not on that.
There's a lot of questions about this Colorado team. And while I know when you look at North Dakota State, you see those letters FCS, but there are not a lot of questions about them. This is a perennial contender, national championship winner year after year after year. And all reports have indicated that they're going to be better than they were last year this season. So I like North Dakota State plus the 10. And I could see a money line sprinkle. I don't hate it. I'm with you on the why not. Let's go to one of the marquee games, though, of week one. Everybody talking about Georgia and Clemson. Georgia laying nearly 2 touchdowns in this spot. Could Clemson not be getting the respect that they deserve here despite playing the number one team in the country? Money line for Clemson, plus 425. Can you say why not?
You almost have to say why not. Now, you know Clemson isn't nearly as talented as Georgia. You know Georgia's got a ton of pro prospects, offensive and defensive line. So, you know, on paper, this doesn't look like a good matchup for Clemson. However, if Clemson's a legitimate program and Clint Kubiak is a good enough quarterback, which I'm not sure the answer to those two things are yes, then you have to take a shot on the money line.
Yeah, we'll see what Cade Klubnik ultimately is going to be
Klubnik,
this year.
Yeah, I'm sorry. No, I said his name wrong.
You're good. We all love the Kubiaks. We do. We can't help it. Florida State lost in week one as a double-digit favorite to Georgia Tech on a walk-off field goal. Now they go from favorite in the ACC to the fourth shot. Could this be a buy-low spot on Florida State if they're able to go on and run the table the rest of the season? 6-1 is the price in the ACC.
I don't think you're going to get me to say why not on that because I don't trust DJ. I mean, I don't trust DJ to be a good enough quarterback for them. I think they'll struggle. You struggle against Georgia Tech. That wasn't an aberration. They struggled. If you struggle against Georgia Tech, that means you're going to struggle against some other teams, not named Clemson, not named North Carolina, not named the best teams in the ACC. They'll struggle with Duke. So I don't think 6-1 to me, that doesn't seem tight enticing enough to say why not to Stormy.
Yeah, they are going to have Clemson in October, Miami in October, Notre Dame late in the season. Florida, I know, has a tough schedule, but they're going to be good. They've got some tough games on the schedule moving ahead. But again, 6-1, the price there. You have been asking the question all hour long. Why are the Broncos such big underdogs to the Seattle Seahawks in week one? Well, I will ask you, Michael. Can you say why not to a little money line price here on the Broncos, plus 195 to beat Seattle outright on the road?
I would definitely look. I think week one is the best place to take some risk on high money lines. And I promise you, there'll be an upset on a money line that'll cash a ticket in. It could be Tennessee versus Chicago money line. It could be Arizona, Buffalo. It could be Denver versus Seattle. I think there's no question. It could be Carolina, New Orleans. One thing we know about week one, bad teams win in week one. They don't, because of the element of surprise and the preparation and all that, you can find a way. Look, what happened? Jacksonville beat Indianapolis 1 year in week one. That was their only win. Remember that?
Yeah.
They went the rest of the year, couldn't get a win. Week one, you can surprise people. And I think just because you win in week one doesn't mean you're a good team either.
I know I already talked about Circus Survivor, Michael, but there are a lot of short spreads this week. Next week, you never know what's going to happen. I could see some early carnage if you don't play it safe and smart in week one Survivor, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Now, you already know my bets for the team to score the fewest points in the NFL this year. I have one ticket on the Patriots. I have another ticket on the Giants. I think the offenses are going to be rough, and they could be in contention for a number one overall pick, as we discussed earlier. But another team has a little bit of intrigue here, potentially. If Deshaun Watson continues to be the Deshaun Watson that we have seen in recent history, could you say why not to the Cleveland Browns at 16-1 to score the fewest points in the NFL this year? Or is that too much?
No, I could say why not to that because, look, wow, the Flacco's not there. I mean, if they put Winston in the game, there's no – if he stays as the backup, we're talking about – they're talking about keeping Dorian Thompson-Robinson as the second string. We know he's not good enough. And we know Watson, over the last 2 years, has only played in 12 games. They signed Winston to replace Flacco, and now they're talking about trading him. If Flacco was on this roster, you would not get me to say why not to that. Because the guy threw for 1,616 yards in 5 games. But we have no assurances that Deshaun Watson is going to get back to the way he played in the second half of the Baltimore game, nor do we have any assurances he's going to stay healthy. I mean, he can't stay healthy. So I would why not that? I mean, look, if they're going to win, they have to run the ball. Chubb's not there. I know Ford led their team in rushing last year, but still, they have good skill. They have a good offensive line, but without a quarterback, does it really matter?
Michael, you've been a little too optimistic for my liking in this segment. We got to find one where you're going to say no way. Could it be this one? Now, listen, I know you just said week one is the time when you can take shots on underdogs. How about the Cardinals money line in Buffalo against the Bills? Could you say why not to them, or is this a stay away?
No, I could say why not to that.
Because, really?
Look, the Cardinals, look, Drew Petsick, their offensive coordinator with James Conner, they ran the ball as good against anybody last year. I think James Conner deserves a Purple Heart. He was sensational. So I'm all in on that. Now, look, I think they have to be better with Kyler Murray, Marvin Harrison. Look, Buffalo's a tough team, but Buffalo without Milano is not the same team either. So Buffalo's a wounded warrior right now. They've got some injuries, and opening day games are often tough to play. And if they can manage and keep them in check and not give up big runs, I think they have a great chance.
Michael, I got to get a no way out of you, so I'm going to throw one that I just know the answer to. The Giants to win the Super Bowl, 150-1.
Stop. That shouldn't be in the segment. That's like saying the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl. Come on. There's no way. They have the worst quarterback room. You know, Mayo said today, by the way, that he is going to announce his starting quarterback. He already knows who it is, but he's going to wait till tomorrow. Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? Do we need Gene Rayburn to come out and play match game or something? Like, what's going on here?
Lord help us. It is a different organization out there in New England, isn't it? But I had to throw something at you because you only gave me one no shot. I needed another. I needed to end the show with a bang. So I appreciate you as always, Michael. We will be back here same time, same place tomorrow on the Lombardi Line. But for now, we leave you. Sharp Money coming up after this.